Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. I'm John Peters, and I'm joined by Kyle McKelvey. Today, we are picking our favorites across the country to have great seasons and breaking down the SEC. Let's talk college baseball. Kyle, question for you. Why did you pick the weekend before college baseball opening day to buy a house and move?
No, that's a great question. I wish I would have done it sooner. We actually tried to do it sooner in early November, and it fell through late in the process. So,
all right,
it's fine. We had to get it done before the end of February because that's when our lease is up. So we needed to get that done.
We really need to get you on a contract for College Baseball Nation and stipulate no major life events between the months of February and June.
Well, I can say the same about you. You had your thesis defense last June during Omaha.
Yeah, that's true. That's a trivial thing, though. So, college baseball news in the last week since we last spoke with you all. We mentioned it last week on the podcast, Blake Tidwell, the ace of Tennessee, who we have currently as a preseason All-American. Rumors now are getting a little bit thicker around his injury. It's been confirmed he has an injury, and now rumors seem to be suggesting he might not be pitching for the entire season. I mean, that's kind of a bummer. I think Tennessee, the Knoxville Regional itself, was one of the most exciting parts of the college baseball NCAA tournament last year. So I don't know, real bummer anytime you see a guy go down like that.
Yeah, and that was a really, really fun regional to watch. And it's a little sad to have that one player missing, but I think they're still a good team and they still could be really good in the SEC East this year. So I don't know. It does suck that their ace might be missing, though. I guess we don't really know for sure, right?
Yeah, we don't know for sure. I mean, D1 baseball kept him off their preseason All-American teams, and like very vaguely Kendall Rogers on Twitter was like, we spoke to people who were familiar with the matter and thought that maybe it didn't make sense to have him on the list, which I don't know, I interpreted as might be out for the season or for extended time period, but that's on me if I'm wrong, and maybe he's only going to be out for a couple weeks. But yeah, let's put a pin in that SEC discussion, because I think we're going to come back maybe later at the end of the podcast and try to pick some teams in the East. I think the East is, I think we're going to have some pretty different opinions. That's my prediction
too.
Elsewhere in college baseball news, you know what? I think that like the thing that brings me most joy about being part of College Baseball Nation is the amazing mentions that show up on our Twitter notifications. I mean, we get tagged in all sorts of things, and this week it was probably like the highlight for me when a young baseball player around the age of 12 years old tagged us in a highlight post saying that he had been hustling since the age of 9. And like, I don't know, I respect that. Like he has a goal and he's working towards something, and I respect that. I think that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. I mean, I hope to see him continue to hustle through the age of 18.
Yeah, and then like, to his credit, he did not have the word uncommitted in his Twitter bio, which I know gets the like the likes of college baseball Twitter fans like up in arms when you see like a class of 2047 or whatever with like uncommitted in their Twitter bio. And you're like, okay, you can't be uncommitted. You're literally in sixth grade.
It makes me feel so old when you said class of 2047.
I think that might be some hyperbole. I think those kids aren't born yet.
Okay, it's probably true.
Yeah, but still, it's like 20 something years from now.
But still, like that kid is probably what, class of 2030?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, 8 years from now. Yeah, I think it kind of adds up. But I mean, yeah, that's the joys of running a Twitter account.
Yeah, I wish I got tagged in really fun things like that on Instagram. We just get a lot of hateful messages on Instagram.
I don't understand that. Like anytime we post something on Twitter, people are like, oh, I agree, I disagree, oh, here's some thoughts. And like, I don't think of Twitter as the most like the place you go for the highest quality discourse. And then you go to Instagram and people are like, you're an idiot for not ranking my team this way. Or like, what are you, stupid? And it's like, calm down. Like, I don't know. Like hopefully like you're following us or you're looking at our stuff because you like college baseball and like, I don't know, like bringing that level of like vitriol into all this is like, it's a lot.
Yeah, I feel like people like college baseball but love spewing hate. So just be nicer to people in 2022, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we're making this our New Year's resolutions podcast just a month late. So
nicer people, buy a house.
Buy a house. Yeah. All right. So you have a game planned out for us, a little challenge, a head to head battle between you and me. Right before the podcast, I think we were on uneven grounds in terms of understanding. I think we finally figured out what the heck we're going to do, but why don't you give it a shot at explaining for the masses of fans out there what we're going to try to do now?
All right. So we were going to do a draft of 2022 teams or seasons for 2022. Basically where we pick teams, and later at the end of the season, we'll determine the winner based on a series of criteria by getting points for things like wins, winning your conference tournament, winning the regular season, going to Omaha, stuff like that. We're going to go back and forth. And we're going to go eight rounds, I think, to two teams from each of these six conferences: the SEC, the ACC, Big West, Big 12, the Pac-12, and the Big 10.
Kyle, why is the Big West on there? Big West, that seems like a little bit of a curveball. I mean, why not the American?
We have four teams in our Big West, in the Big West, in our top 50. So
I know that was like that was probably the single craziest thing is I think I've spent the last few years as part of College Baseball Nation, like advocating that the American should be considered a power conference. And like, I still feel that, but like, I don't know, like this season, we talked about it last week. The American has a little bit of a big year this year in terms of establishing itself, its reputation. Big West, four teams in the top 50. So, I mean, they're good enough heading into the preseason that we had to handicap the conference. That's a first time for us, something like that.
Pretty exciting. Yeah.
All right. So we can only choose two from each of those conferences. So there's going to be at least a few additional mid-majors that make the list. But yeah, like Kyle said, we're just picking good teams that we think are going to have good seasons, right?
Yep. Yeah, we'll put a fancy graphic of this somewhere. Sorry to put some of that stress on you, John. But
yeah, wait a second. Have you ever made a graphic for us, Kyle?
I don't have the fancy programs on my computer, Mr. Harvard.
All right. I guess there will be a fancy graphic now that Kyle's made me do it, now that we're recording this and I've decided that I no longer am a fan of editing this podcast. So everything that we say stays in it.
I can edit. Yeah, just give me a chance to edit. I need a few days for buying a house.
All right. If this podcast isn't posted until after the season started, it's Kyle's fault.
Yeah. And I'll just like, you know, maybe edit, say that I got all the best teams and John picked all the bad teams. So
yeah. Yeah. We'll come back like 4 months from now or whatever, 5 months from now when the season's over, and there'll just be a voiceover where Kyle's just choosing all the top eight teams that get to Omaha. And we're like, wait, what the heck? Like, how did Kyle do that? And just you edit over.
And John picked all the teams that don't actually sponsor baseball.
Yeah. I think SMU is going to win it all.
SMU, Iowa State, Wisconsin, Colorado. There's four.
Yeah. Yeah. I too saw that poll on Twitter. I think I don't know.
I didn't.
Oh, really? Oh, there was a Twitter poll that was like, which of these should have a baseball team? And it was those four schools.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right. So how might one decide who goes first in a draft like this, Kyle?
I say we do a coin flip.
Well, if we're doing a coin flip, I cannot be held responsible because I have disavowed all coinage, as in I don't have any coins.
I also don't. And I was trying this before the podcast, but my phone did not want to flip a coin for me. So we have one on Google, and you're just going to have to take my word for it. I'll be flipping. You can pick. How's that sound?
All right. But I have to call it when it's in the air, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It takes like 2 seconds to flip, to land, it looks like. So ready? Set.
I'm going heads.
Are you ready? Okay.
I'm going heads. No matter what, I'm going heads.
It's tails.
Well,
I can share my screen. You can prove it.
All right. Yeah, I want a screenshot uploaded right now. No. all right. Okay. Of course, you're actually sharing your screen. All right. Flip again. All right. So that means you're going. Wait. Actually, you get to decide. We're just doing every other, right? We're not doing any sort of fancy style thing.
I think that's fair.
All right. So presumably, you want to go first, then.
I do want to go first.
And are you taking notes or am I taking notes?
I have some things like a spreadsheet open with it, but if you want to see, I can do it in the Google Sheet.
Let's do nope, that. You got it. You take care of this because I'll make the fancy graphic if you write notes.
Okay, that's fair. All right. So you said eight rounds.
Eight rounds. And I want to preface this with the fact that before we started recording, Kyle shared a spreadsheet that has like pages and pages of notes about all of these teams and conferences. And I feel woefully unprepared, but that's going to make the victory all the sweeter.
Well, you know, you can make all these spreadsheets like I have, but you have to actually like study them to understand them, which I have not done. So we are equally prepared, I think.
So start us off then.
Well, so we have these points here. We have, you get points for conference tournament winner, regular season winner, hosting regional and super regional, making it to Omaha, being the second place team overall, and then winning the whole thing. So I feel like winning your conference regular season has got to be our number one team. So I'm going to go with Texas.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good pick. I think it's the obvious one. I think that when there's only nine teams in your conference, that increases the odds of randomly winning it. And I think Texas is a little bit better than the average. So that's a no-brainer.
Yep. That's the number one pick, as much as it pains my Aggie heart.
I think I'm going to go strategy here. SEC is such a crapshoot. I'm going to avoid them for the first maybe round or two. So
good idea.
I'm going to go with Stanford. I think that they have a pretty good shot of winning the regular season in the Pac-12. Pac-12 actually has a conference tournament coming up this year, so that gives me another shot at points there. And typically, when you're on the West Coast, pretty good odds that if you end up in somewhere in the top 15, top 20, that you end up hosting. So I'm feeling pretty good.
All right. I see we're going to... like real strategy here, not just like how we think the teams are. So it's a pretty good strategy.
Oh, we're playing a game and you're getting mad at me for using strategy.
Uh-huh. I am. So I think I will go for an SEC team.
Oh, foolish.
It's not that foolish. Oh, no, maybe not. Okay, I think I'm going to go with ECU from the
no,
American.
No, wait, go back. Pick an SEC team instead.
No, I think I'm going to stick with ECU for the conference tournament.
I regret my choice immediately. I think ECU is a better pick than Stanford, and I instantly saw that, and I was like, oh, dang, I hope he doesn't pick East Carolina.
Well, I mean, Stanford went to Omaha last year, and ECU didn't, so that was an extra few 20 points right there. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think ECU is so much more the favorite to win. Like,
right.
I think the odds of winning ECU winning the American are somewhere around like 50% at least, like 60%. I think like 60%+. I think the odds of Stanford winning the Pac-12 are way better than a lot of other teams, but I would still only put it at like 30% or 40% probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have only two teams in the top 50 American ranked. Yeah. Number 13 or 12 ECU, and then all the way down at 41 is Wichita State. We considered a few other ones, but
yeah.
But yeah, like Americans probably a little bit easier to win in the Pac-12.
All right. So with the fourth choice in the College Baseball Nation preseason draft, I'm going to choose Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yeah. See similar logic for you yeah. For Nebraska. I think that they have a pretty good shot of winning the Big Ten. Their path to hosting is probably not as good, but if they win the Big Ten and Big Ten's actually doing non-conference this year, why not?
Yeah, but,
okay. It's a little bit of a gut there, a little bit of a gut feeling.
So right now we're at one from the Big 12, one from the Pac 12, one from the Big Ten, and then one from the American. So the ACC and the SEC are unchosen so far.
And it's because we have like 30 teams in the top 25 from those two conferences, and we don't know what to do with them.
It is almost a crapshoot because those teams are all super talented.
Yeah.
But you get points for hosting, and I think Vanderbilt has a pretty good shot every year at hosting. So I'm going to go with Vanderbilt for my third pick.
And I'm going to close up the SEC and go with Mississippi State.
Dang.
Yeah, no more SEC teams. Once you broke the seal there, I knew I had to get in because I didn't want you coming away with two SEC teams because you're like, SEC is going to host. Like, I don't know. Mississippi State, like if Mississippi State doesn't host, it's going to be because like a volcano emerged from underneath Starkville and destroyed the town or something. Like Mississippi State has a really good odds of hosting.
Yeah, and I mean, so do several SEC teams. I think the record is 6 hosts, right, from one conference.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. I can't remember if we've done the... Yeah, 6 sounds right.
Okay, so the SEC is now locked up. That was smart for you to take that one right there. So I think now we got to lock up the ACC probably, but it's still like... I feel like there's no consensus on the ACC this year. Like, we have a bunch that are ranked from, from 8 all the way down to, like... the bottom of the like top 30 or something. So
yeah,
it's, and then some teams could come out of nowhere or some teams could disappoint. So I don't know.
We have Clemson ranked 46, but like it would not shock me if Clemson hosted this year. Like, the ACC is just so deep. I mean, one of the difficult things about these rankings is that like it's just hard to find a path forward for some of these teams to make the NCAA tournament when their conferences are so deep and stuff. And it's it goes without saying that the ACC is one of the deepest conferences.
Agreed. Let's see. With that in mind, I will go Florida State.
Yeah, that's a good one. Their pitching is too reliable to be bad. Like they're that's a good pick.
Yeah, it was a toss up between them and George Tech, and I don't know, but NC State is also a good pick there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm torn here. I don't want to give you a shot at two ACC teams, but I don't know if I like any of the other ACC teams that much. At like, well, all right, I'll just Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech, in my opinion, is one of the highest ceiling team in the ACC, and it's the team we have ranked highest in the ACC right now. And it's because we see their ceiling is really high. And you know what? Let's put my money where my mouth is. I think I had a driving force in pushing Georgia Tech up that high, so I'm going to go with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, and Florida State's right behind them in the rankings at 10. Georgia Tech was 8. So
I think Georgia Tech's ceiling is higher. Florida State's floor is higher. That's how I see it.
That's fair. All right. So that's the ACC locked up. And we are halfway done. Should we recap real fast? Or you want to recap at the end?
Let's recap at the end because that's what I want to do.
Okay. It's a good enough reason.
Yeah. I'm too focused. I'm already like, I'm like scheming out my next few picks that I can't lose this focus.
Okay, well, I mean, it's pretty easy to just go down the rankings. I'm going to stick with Louisiana Tech winning their conference. We have the highest ranked in the conference USA, with some other teams close behind. Southern Miss is right there in the top 25. Old Dominion's just outside of the top 25. But I trust those Bulldogs.
I think I'm getting value here with Oklahoma State. Like, I'm pretty happy with this pick. Like, I think Oklahoma State has a really good shot at hosting, and that there's a chance that Oklahoma State is in Omaha at the end of the year.
That's the Big 12 locked up. Did you see that? There was like a College World Series appearance, or maybe national champion odds that came out a couple weeks ago, maybe a week ago. Oklahoma State was the second highest That was so weird.
I spent a lot of time mulling those over, and I don't claim to know how Vegas works, but there are some peculiar choices on there, to say the least.
What else stood out?
Virginia was at like plus 30,000 or something. Like, I know, like, we have some misgivings about Virginia. Like, we don't have them in our top 25. We have them at 27. But if I were a betting man and had to pick, maybe not had to pick, like, that feels like a bet you can make money on. Like, I don't know. Like, that seems like odds are too low on Virginia.
Yeah, I'm going to Vegas here in a few weeks for my brother's bachelor party. So maybe I'll go slide some money on.
Put $10 on Virginia for me.
All right, we'll do. Maybe some on fading Oklahoma State for some reason, if I can do that.
No, Oklahoma State is overvalued.
Right, that's where you got them in the fifth round here.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go take a peek at that list. All right, I was wrong. Virginia's at plus 20,000, so not quite 30,000.
That's pretty high.
But let's just say they have the same odds of winning the College World Series as Florida Gulf Coast, UNCW, and Northeastern, Auburn, and Army. So
that's wild.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah. All right, let's rein it back in before we lose.
Okay. So the Big 12, ACC, and SEC are locked up. We still don't have a Big West team taken. We still have two slots, or one each for the Big 10 and Pac 12. There are also some other teams that could slide right in there. I would want to take TCU or Texas Tech right here, but that's locked up for some late round value. Let's see. Go ahead and give me UC Irvine from the Big West. It's one of the Big West teams.
I like that pick. I think the Big West is a little bit tougher because they don't have a conference tournament. So you're losing those points right off the bat. But if I were to pick a Big West team later on, like this, like Irvine, I like it.
I should have thought about that, but I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I told you. Like, I can't lose focus because I'm holding all of these clever thoughts in my mind right now, and they're all being juggled around. I'm losing them the longer that we go with this. So let's do Dallas Baptist. I think that good odds they win the Missouri Valley.
Yeah, I like that pick.
Yeah, bad odds they host because they have to win like 45 games to host, I think, basically. I don't know, like they just have to win a lot of games before they can get in the hosting conversation, but they feel like a team that could win me 40 games, that could win the tournament, conference tournament, win the regular season.
All right.
Is this round seven? Where are we at?
We're about to be at round seven, yeah. All right. Extend it if you want. There's a lot of teams left on the board.
No, well, let's stick with the eight.
All right. similar mindset here for my next pick. Got to pick a team who is like by far the best of its conference. So that's why I'm going with the Campbell Camels.
Ooh, I like that one. Yeah. Again, not a team that's going to be hosting, but a team that's really good odds of winning their tournament and their regular season and winning a lot of games in the Big South.
Yeah. And they could accidentally sneak into a super host if one of the regional hosts. I can't imagine them hosting unless there's a bunch of chaos. I don't know. We'll see.
Nah, they're gonna have to win 53 games before they host. I don't know. That's just the reality.
They won't do it. Campbell won 53 games.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I don't think you've picked a team from the Pac-12, have you?
Dang, I have not.
All right. So
late round thievery.
I'm now at an impasse here between the incredibly talented, incredibly young UCLA and the increasingly improving Oregon State. But I can tell you I'm going to pick one of them. And I'm going to go, well, and there's Oregon's also on the board too as a really intriguing team. But I'm going to go upside here. This is a late round pick. You don't necessarily need to go with your high confidence picks. This is where you try to get a lot of value, you know, later in the draft. UCLA is going to be a team that is in the conversation to host a regional at least halfway through the season and win a few extra Pac-12 series, and they're going to be right in there.
All right. That's a really good pick. You took the extra Pac-12 team to get those extra points there, possibly.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else from the Big Ten do we have rated highly? Maryland seems to be it.
Yep. But, I mean, there's a whole group of teams in there that you could consider. Michigan is going to be good. Michigan State's getting better. I don't think they're quite there yet. Ohio State should be all right. I don't know. The Big Ten is always a little bit challenging to pick, and especially a year coming off where they didn't have the most amazing postseason and they didn't play non-conference. It's always a little bit tougher to read, but.
Yeah. And it seems like everyone has dropped off rating Michigan highly. Like Collegiate Baseball is the only one who has them in their rankings, and they have them at 30. Everyone else doesn't have them considered, or I mean, doesn't have them on there. I don't know if they're considered them or not, but
yeah, I think it's like it goes back to a conversation we're having last week. Everyone, I think, is a believer in the coaching staff at Michigan. I don't know if everyone is a believer in the current squad, the roster they have right now. So
sure.
I'm going to say they're a tournament team. I'm not going to say that they're going to win the Big Ten, though.
That's fair. So, ton of teams that are crossed out because all these conferences are gone. But let's see. I'm going to go with... Go ahead and give me Charlotte. The Charlotte 49ers from the CUSA.
I like it.
I'm going to cancel that. I already have another CUSA team.
CUSA. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone call it CUSA before. What?
Yeah. It's right there. It's CUSA.
Conference USA? I don't know. I've never heard CUSA.
Just way faster, and I like to be efficient here.
CUSA sounds like something you'd call someone from Syracuse.
That's true. Martin Orange, another team that doesn't have baseball. Fun fact late in the round of this game.
We should just have a podcast where we go and list teams that don't have baseball, and that's the whole podcast. It's going to be just like abstract modern art.
Yeah. I like it. Well, since the CUSA or Conference USA already have one of those.
That's Mr. Conference USA to you, Kyle.
Go with some other value. Give me Liberty. I think I've gotten a lot of potential conference winners late in these rounds. And
yeah,
Liberty.
Yeah.
Let's see. Liberty from the ASUN. Is that fine to say? Is that abbreviation okay?
I'll allow it.
Yeah. I think they have a really good shot at winning their conference. They're really talented, especially compared to the rest of their conference. So.
Yeah, and they have that postseason experience too under their belt. They had a nice showing last year, so they're not going to be afraid when they show up to a regional. I don't think they'll be hosting one, but like you said, like anytime if you have a chance at winning a regional, you always have a chance of hosting a super. There's a little bit of chaos in the bracket.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see your big brain strategy here.
Last pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with SMU. No.
Bold pick.
Yeah. Can we go with Parkland Community College? Can we drop down into the JUCO ranks?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm gonna go Southern Miss, right? We haven't
picked them.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Southern Miss. I like them a lot because I think they give me a pretty good shot winning that tournament or that regular season, and I think they give me a pretty good shot of hosting. I think they're always within shouting distance of hosting, and this is gonna be another pretty solid year. So call me satisfied there with Southern Miss as the last pick in the draft.
I like it.
All right, rapid fire. Let's go down your team, my team.
All right, my team. So yeah, we'll aggregate all of these points at the end of the season and determine a winner. We'll come back and one of us will be super sad. But my team, first round, I went with Texas. Second round, East Carolina. Third round, Vanderbilt. Then Florida State. Then Louisiana Tech, UC Irvine, Campbell, and Liberty. You had first round Stanford. Then you went with Nebraska. Then Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, Oklahoma State, Dallas Baptist, UCLA, and Southern Miss. Some good teams out there. I think we got a lot of wins in these eight rounds. I like this.
Yeah. What's the what are the rules around trading?
What do you want to trade?
I don't know. I'm willing to stake Nebraska and UCLA, and I want ECU and a player to be named later.
You'd have to give me Georgia Tech instead of Nebraska. No, just kidding. Georgia Tech instead of UCLA for ECU and Irvine.
All right, let's put a 24-hour expiration date on this trade and revisit this. This is going to take some thinking over, but I can say that my biggest regret is not getting ECU when I had the chance to.
I mean, my biggest regret is not getting a Pac-12 team. That was an oversight by me.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well. Let's come back to that. I'm intrigued by this possible trade. But before we close up the podcast, we have to make sure that we talk a little bit about the SEC because, I mean, it's fun talking about the SEC. And I think that was like have you run through my teams yet or did you?
I did.
All right. Then let's move on to the SEC. So I think something that becomes really challenging when you're ranking the teams in the SEC is that we have a lot of them ranked in the top 25, and really subtle things like Arkansas losing Palette can suddenly move you in the hierarchy in terms of the preseason projections. So let's just do this as a team effort. Let's walk our way down the SEC West and try to pick teams from 1 to 7 and then move over to the East and try our best to come up with some sort of consensus rankings for these. But my gut is that we're not going to get there.
Yeah, probably not.
Are we okay with Mississippi State number one in the West?
I think so. I mean, it would be either them or Arkansas, right?
This is going to be a battle.
Well, so I mean, they did lose Palette, but I mean, I guess. It's like so hard in the West because every team can be under consideration for number one, like except for, I don't know, the bottom three. So Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss, and LSU are all kind of like have high ceilings because of the way that they recruit and the way that they spend and everything. Yeah. So yeah, like the other team that I would consider number one, I guess, would be LSU, just because of their high powered lineup.
All right, I don't know. I agree or disagree. A potent offense is reason to be skeptical of a team in the preseason, like in the SEC, especially. Like I feel like with LSU, what we're excited about is this potential of a super powerful offense. And so, like that's gonna win you a lot of games in a lot of leagues, but can it win LSU the 40 games or whatever they're gonna have to win and the 20 games in the West or 20 games in conference they're gonna have to win the West?
Yeah. I guess you do feel more confident if a team's strength is pitching over compared to batting. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. And like when I look at a team like Mississippi State, I feel like, I mean, well-balanced. I feel like I can trust their pitching staff. Arkansas, I trust their pitching staff, even with the loss to Palette. I think that they had probably the most depth in the West, even if they didn't have maybe, I mean, without the bona fide Friday night ace in Palette. I mean, it's not as great, but I think if there's anything that they could recover from, it was something like this. So my instinct right here is to go Mississippi State one. Oh, wow. Arkansas, I really just thought, I thought an answer was going to come out, but like, as I said it, I don't know. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Mississippi State one, Arkansas two.
LSU three.
I don't know. I feel really inclined to put LSU two, and I feel them to put them at four too. I mean, they're like peak high ceiling, low floor team for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know either. We could say LSU and Ole Miss tie for third. How about that?
That is incredibly unsatisfactory. I think that's a sure bet. Ole Miss feels higher to me than LSU. Like if you had like put your house on it, I would probably end up going with Ole Miss over LSU in terms of number of wins I think they're going to end up with. Because like new head coach at LSU, Jay Johnson is great. Who knows if it takes a couple SEC weekends before he's comfortable? I don't know. Is that insulting to the Pac-12? Like Pac-12 weekends are legit, but like SEC weekends are like a whole different thing, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm being SEC biased here, but like I think LSU could have some growing pains.
Yeah, and if we want to split hairs, we can look at schedule. So teams that Ole Miss draws from the East are Tennessee, Kentucky. And they go to Kentucky, and then they go to South Carolina, then they host Missouri. So that, like, as far as SEC East schedules go, like the SEC East is a not much of a drop off compared to the West. Like it's still maybe a little bit of a drop off. Maybe not. I don't know. But though that's a pretty favorable schedule to draw, especially if you get to host Mizzou. Maybe you'd rather go to Mizzou, but I don't know.
That feels like three wins.
Yeah. Either way, it feels like three wins. But
all right, let's. I don't know. If you're willing, I'm going to lock in Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss, LSU in that order as 1 through 4.
State, Arkansas, Ole Miss, LSU. Let's see. Oh yeah, LSU has to go to Vanderbilt. End of the year. Yeah, I think I'm fine with Ole Miss at 3, LSU at 4.
All right, and like you referenced just a few moments ago, there's kind of two tiers in the West. There's the top 4 and there's the bottom 3. Auburn, Bama, A&M, how do we want to rank them? And let's, for full disclosure, Auburn is the only one we actually have ranked in our top 50. Alabama probably would have been considered the Connor Prelip injuries. Probably what was the nail in the coffin for them getting knocked out of consideration for the top 50. A&M is a team I legitimately think could end up ranked in the top 25 at some point this season, but I don't know how. Like, for the first time in the history of my college baseball fandom, I think the pitching staff is a little bit of a question mark at A&M this year.
Yes.
That one's a little bit odd for me. How do you want to do the bottom 3?
I had written down, just before you started talking about this, I had A&M, Auburn, and then Bama.
I'm all right with that.
No slight to any of them. Like, they could all still be really good teams, but I just don't know.
Yeah, I think let's lock that in. I think I could make a case for Auburn being ranked higher because I think the talent they have coming in, especially in the middle of the defense there and the position players, I really like them. They have some guys I think they're going to be big time producers, but I mean, a lot of those guys were there a year ago and Auburn was an under 500 team. So A&M is a team that struggled a lot last year, but with a new head coach and like every single transfer in junior college, apparently going to College Station. I'm okay with that. Let's move to the East.
All right.
Vanderbilt. All right, your turn.
That's fair. You got the easy one.
Right? There's no doubt. Vanderbilt is the favorite and honestly, maybe not quite heavy favorite, but solid favorite.
Yeah. I would say so. Here's where it gets tricky. And some basic stats that I pulled in before, I had Tennessee in there, but that was before the
Tidwell injury.
Possible injury, yeah. So,
yeah. Your statistical models fail you when it comes to injury, Kyle.
Oh no, I relied too much on math.
Yeah, that was your downfall.
I could see almost any combination of Tennessee, South Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, like any combination of those three teams as next. And then there's Georgia, who's also pretty talented and they recruit well. I don't know.
And then, all right, maybe let's start from the bottom. Missouri, 7?
That's easier. Missouri, yeah.
All right, we have 1 and 7. Let's do 2 through 6 now.
I think Kentucky's 6.
I'm already starting. I don't know. All right, let's go back to number 2. I'm not ready to commit to Kentucky being number 6. Okay. I want to put Florida at number 2 at this point.
Okay. That's we have them at what in our preseason?
They are currently ranked number 19. Tennessee, we currently have number 7. I think Tennessee takes a pretty substantial drop if Tidwell is out, and that's what I'm kind of banking on. And that it becomes a little bit splitting hairs there. I think that Florida, the biggest reason for my trepidation about Florida is I don't see what's all that different from a team that really underperformed a year ago. And that's what keeps, I think, kept us from ranking them higher. But I could also see a really clear argument for, hey, Judd Fabian could have been a first or second round draft pick. He chose to come back and now he might hit 20 home runs and not strike out as much. And, you know, like the Florida pitching staff is going to be pretty good. Like more than pretty good. Florida's pitching staff is going to be good. And like, you know, you can start building the story of how Florida is actually a top 10 team. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's just like how they recruit. Like they're always right there and they're always like really close. So has happened lately, I guess. I don't know.
I feel like there's a little bit of a hangover. I feel like last year we kept Tennessee so low in our rankings for so long. I feel guilty about it at this point because we were like the last like media group to believe in Tennessee at all. Now maybe I'm whiplashing and saying, I don't know. I'll leave it up to you. I'm leaning Florida, Tennessee, but if you want to flip it, I'll be okay with that.
I'm fine with that. Florida, Tennessee, and then the next argument or debate, I guess, is between Georgia, South Carolina, and that's the opposite of my order, I think.
Yeah, I think.
South Carolina and Georgia.
Kentucky at 6.
Yeah, I think it's just like how they fell. It's not like anything against them. It's just all these other teams have been recruiting a lot better and have a higher track record, a better track record. I don't know.
All right, looking across the board here, we've had, I mean, pretty typical for the SEC at this point is like 9 or 10 teams in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Any reason to believe that goes down, that goes up this year, in your opinion?
I imagine it could stay about the same. Like when you have all these, like, I don't know, the bottom teams kind of have to hope for no division winner having 21 or 22 wins or something. Like they got to get above that 13 win mark to be sure. But like, I just don't see that many wins going around for those bottom 5-6-ish teams.
Yeah, I agree. That's always the calculus, right? It's like, how can you get enough conference wins? I think, I don't know, like, I think there's a component too that like maybe goes underappreciated in the national media of like how important non-conference schedule is for the SEC. Like, I think that it's very easy to look at the like American and say, like we did last week, the non-conference schedule for the American is really important because when it comes to getting a second, third, fourth bid, you have to have some non-conference wins. I think it's pretty true for the SEC, and maybe it doesn't get discussed as much because the SEC does well in non-conference year in and year out, but especially for those teams that are like, maybe Kentucky could make the NCAA tournament. It's like, well, they have to have a pretty good showing in non-conference because that's the only way they're going to get to like 30, 35 wins or something, you know, like they can't like lay an egg in non-conference. So the first few weeks of the season are actually pretty crucial for a lot of SEC teams.
Yeah. And it helps kind of build the baseline for RPI, which is seemingly the primary factor for determining at large spots. So
all right, as the self-acclaimed biased Aggie at the beginning of the podcast, A&M in or out of the NCAA tournament?
I gotta say in because of where we ranked them. If we had thought lower of them and put them at 6 or 7 in the SEC West, then maybe not. But since we put them fifth, I feel like we as a group believe in them a little bit more than last year. If that pitching staff can round into form, I think Jonathan Childress is coming back. I said that for a year or two now, so I don't know. If like he's coming back and performing up to what he could, like what he showed at the end of two seasons ago, I think pitching staff could be good enough to get 14, 15 wins in the SEC West. And I don't know, the non-conference doesn't look too terribly hard from what I remember.
No, yeah, they're going to rack up a lot of wins in non-conference. And if they don't, that's going to be a huge red flag.
Yeah, for sure. They start with like Fordham. The one like classic they have is Washington State, Iowa, and Wichita State, which is at the Frisco Baseball Classic. And that doesn't seem that tough to me.
Washington State, sneaky good. I don't want to go too crazy. Not sneaky good. Sneaky getting better team.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Washington State is a team that could make the NCAA tournament in the next. Like, I could see Washington State making the NCAA tournament next year. I don't know if this year, but they're trending up.
Okay, we'll come back to this.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's call it a wrap on that. I think that I am personally super stoked for the fact that the next time that you and I are together to record a podcast, we're going to be picking weekend series winners. Ooh. I literally had a dream the other night about Mississippi State and Long Beach State playing each other opening weekend. And someone kindly reminded me on Twitter that Oklahoma State and Vanderbilt are also playing. So like, I mean, it's just like, there's so much good baseball that's happening. It's literally next week. It's next week. It's next week. It's next week.
You gotta slap yourself awake.
Yeah. It's next Friday. So,
I can survive the moving.
Yeah. Yeah. The next time we record, we might be recording from Kyle's brand new home. So
brand new pool, I think is what you mean to say.
Wait, I admit that I'm not super familiar with the weather patterns in Houston, Texas right now, but it's not pool weather yet, right?
Yeah. It's always pool weather in Houston.
is this a heated pool or is this just a,
it has the capability to be heated, but it won't be heated by next week. So it'll probably be pretty cold.
All right. So next week you'll be hearing Kyle chattering as he's recording from his 55 degree pool. All right, Kyle, thanks for joining me. Thanks for you at home for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you want to find more content about college baseball, go to our website, collegebaseball.info. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, @collegeballnat. We have tons of new features coming out in preparation for the new season and some conference overviews that you should definitely go check out. Be on the lookout for preseason freshman All-American coming soon. Thanks for listening and have a great week.